This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome in, everybody, to another It's Friday, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I am James Haskell, along with my co-host Glenn Martin. It's a late night episode, getting a late start tonight. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. But we got a lot to talk about. It is full-on off-season, Glenn. Full-on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But there's still some movement going on. What's going on with the Ravens these days, man?
Yeah, absolutely. The Ravens did make a new addition to the team today, signing free agent wide receiver Keith Kirkwood, formerly of the Temple Owl. He is almost 30 years old. He'll be 30 in December this year. So he's not a rookie, not an undrafted guy. He has played in 31 career games to this point. Not the most, you know, productive guy. You just look at his numbers. He started his career in 2018 at 24 years old with the New Orleans Saints. Throughout the first season, his rookie year, he had 13 catches, two touchdowns. So he spent 2 years, first 2 years, New Orleans. Next 2 years, he spent with the Carolina Panthers and then went back to New Orleans for another two seasons. So he is 29 years old. He's got 24 catches for his career, three total touchdowns, just under 300 yards. Let's see. He is 6'3", 210 pounds, Jimmy. So what's your take on Keith Kirkwood coming to town?
Yeah, I don't know what to think of it. Sometimes we sign some of these guys that are under the radar guys, is what I'll call them. And then all of a sudden they have a little bit of a coming out party here in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure this happens to other teams. Obviously we just follow the Ravens. So this could happen with this guy and things could line up, but I don't know. I see it as they didn't really like the bottom half of the room's performance in minicamp.
Okay, that's how you look at it. You look at it as an indictment on – well, let's just do as a fun exercise here. Let's see if we can come up with how many absolute stone-cold locks we already have at wide receiver.
Yeah.
And then we'll just see who's realistically left competing for how many spots. Like, what's the how many wideouts are the Ravens keeping this year, Jimbo?
Traditionally, it's like six, right?
It's traditionally six. I think during maybe Greg Roman, we might have had a year where we only had five, but then I think we quickly added to six soon after, you know, those roster adjustments after that final cutdown. But
six is fair, right?
Yeah, let's keep it at six and see how many we can come up with. So Zay Flowers is obviously number one. We can put Rashad Bateman at number two. Mm-hmm. I think we can all agree Nelson Agholor is the penciled in number three. Mm-hmm. So we have, I'm assuming Tez Walker is an absolute slam dunk. Yep. Yeah. Do you give Tylan Wallace slam dunk?
No.
Okay.
I mean, he did well he splashed in the preseason last year as a wide receiver, and then obviously did well in the regular season as a special teams contributor. But I don't know if slam dunk is. I think he's a shoo-in. Like, I think it's his spot to lose.
So we got he'd have to fail.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Okay.
What? Who's the rest of the list?
Here, I'm throwing it up now, actually. That way you can follow along with me.
Okay, cool.
Because it's quite a few here we're talking.
Yeah.
All right, so as you can see there, if you're telling me only four are locks, I think Tylan is definitely the leader, though, in the other in the other group, right?
Like, I agree, yeah. But you would also agree with me, right? He's not like a solid full-on lock?
I guess not, but I got to imagine he'd have to really lay an egg when you consider what he did as a because he's your backup return guy or he's your primary return guy, depending on what you get out of Deonte Hardy. Like everyone's trying to say that Deonte Hardy's almost a lock because of his Pro Bowl return pass. But if that's the case, do I put him down as a lock because he's a wide receiver?
I don't think he can. And this is no fault of his own. Just we haven't seen him.
So is it either could I put in the fifth spot either Deonte or Tylan?
Yeah, I think that's a better way to look at it.
Okay. So that means if we're going to put Deonte Hardy and Tylan Wallace, who, by the way, could both end up making this team, no problem.
And that could be our six, right?
That could be it.
But don't you think that's the most likely?
I do, but Malik Cunningham, every report has a Malik Cunningham little footnote or something talking about the plays he made, the consistency he's shown, despite the fact that he's new to the position.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard a lot of Kadir Ismail. Now, the question is he going to try and make a transition to tight end at 6'6", 215? He certainly seems to have the frame. But then you got guys like Sean
Wade, obviously a splash. We had him on the show, of course, and we've heard a lot.
Yeah, that's our guy, Dayton Wade. We just add Keith. Keith Kirkwood is now in the mix. We have, like I said, Sean Ryan has been getting some pretty big hype too from some of the local reporters. 6'3", 200-pound second year player out of Rutgers. That's a crowded room, man. I'll be certainly rooting for Keith to do everything he can to make that decision even tougher. But he certainly has an uphill climb to make this roster. I think that's
fair. But what do you think about the signing in general? Do you think that it's an indictment on what they believe in the depth? Because the Ravens are all, John is the master of building a deep roster, like taking the guys that are in his hand and making the roster as deep as possible. And so to me, I think it's about the depth of the roster.
But you're talking now 12 wide receivers are on this team.
That's 12. Wild.
For six spots that we already can pretty much say five are taken.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't know if it's necessarily an indictment, but I'd love to know what they traditionally keep at this point in the season for pass catchers. Because you do got to have enough pass catchers to give all your three quarterbacks enough work.
Yeah.
And they might even throw a fourth arm in there. I don't know. I think three's enough, but they might even bring a fourth camp arm in. And you need to be able to let all those guys work. So I guess 12 might not be crazy for this time of year with a 90-man roster, but man, that's a crowded room, man. Good luck to Kadir. Good luck to Malik. Good luck to Dayton. I mean, these boys are going to have to really play their ass off because you're telling me six guys are competing, six to seven guys for one spot.
Yeah.
Woo!
It's tough odds. Uphill battle here. Some serious swimming upstream. All the regular turns of phrase that people use for unlikely odds here. But I think it's going to be a fun competition. Looking forward to seeing it. I know that we have some guys that we're really rooting for. Of course, Dayton Wade. We're rooting for all the guys. We want them all to do well, but certainly we are excited about, of course, Dayton Wade, who came on the show, and excited to see what he can do and how he can show out amongst others. But it's going to be a lot of fun. But I agree. I think the most likely is probably the first lineup with Tylan and Deontay Hardy. But look, we got to see. They got to put it together, right? That's nothing right. Is given.
No. Absolutely. And you never know with injuries too. I mean, injuries can certainly throw a wrench in plans
And who knows what some of these guys can do in the special teams in the new format, right? Like what if Dayton goes out there and he's got sure hands, so he gets his hands on the ball and he's what if they want a guy that's quicker in space and maybe not necessarily a top end speed guy, something like that. Or, I mean, not in space, sorry, in smaller spaces in a truncated area. Right.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Like maybe they keep seven because of this new alignment defense. I mean, on the kick return. So that's another good point. We don't know how much that kick return rule is really going to change the construction of rosters. It certainly could. But yeah, good luck to Keith Kirkwood, and we'll certainly be rooting for you in a very tough situation to make this really stacked, ridiculous roster.
Yep.
But I know there's another place we wanted to go to.
The reason why we're here, ladies and gentlemen.
Is this the reason why we're here?
Oh, okay. Dude, I got a full disclosure, guys. I called Glenn today. I was out getting a little jogging, getting a little vitamin
D
in the system. I always get vitamin D, and then vitamin C is what's in like oranges and stuff, right?
That's right.
Anyway, I'm out there getting the good old vitamin D, and I'm talking to Glenn. And he tells me the top 100 list is completely out, and tells me, of course, we know where Lamar Jackson is, et cetera. I got a little fired up.
Yeah.
Got a little fired up. So that's why I'm here tonight.
The disrespect continues. Before we get to that, Terrence Jr. 32 says, love the show, guys. Going to the Bengals game on Thursday night for my first NFL game. That's a great first game to go to a Thursday night. I always say this. I've said it a million times. Sunday night games to me are the best presentation, no matter what. But Thursday night's pretty damn close because it's the national TV game. They typically have some sort of performance at halftime. And then they do a great job throughout the game with those wristbands, with the light up, how they sync with the music, all kind. I mean, you're going to have an
absolute
blast.
You're going to get a concert.
Yep.
You get a halftime concert. Yeah, it's awesome. Dude, you know my first game was? I think, was this Billick's last year? I think it was when, do you remember the Browns game where the ball went off of the back?
Oh, and came back through? Yeah.
Yeah, but it went in?
Yeah. What year was that?
We lost, right?
Yeah, we lost because of that kick. Yeah.
Yeah, that was that 2006?
Was it that? That was your first game?
Seven. Okay. That was my first game. Yeah, 2006.
Yeah, I'll never forget my first game, brother.
When was that?
The 2000 season. We played
awesome.
We played the Chargers. It was the game. We won the game, and that clinched the playoffs for us that year. So it was like the second to last game of the year. And yeah, so in the year 2000, and that was my first Ravens game. I think I'd been to like a Stallions game when I was really little. But
nice.
First
Ravens. Yeah, see, the only reason I got to go, shout out to my cousin Pat. My parents were not about to finance me going to a Ravens game as a kid, even though I would have loved to. My oldest cousin Pat had season tickets, and he's like, "Dude, come to the game with me." I was like, "All right, let's do it."
That's what's up, dude. 2006, that was the first one. Graduating.
I was like 16.
Yeah, I was gonna say I was graduating high school then.
That's kind of
wild. But yeah, have fun, Terrence. Hope you you know, I don't know how old you are, but if you are old enough to drink responsibly, okay?
Drink
gets a little rowdy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's a good point. Okay, last thing, and then I'll digress. My wife, the other day, they have sign up going on O'Donnell Street. It's it says like $12 bleacher seats at Camden Yards or whatever. Mm-hmm. My wife's like, "Why don't we just do that? We'll take Henry." And I was like, "You think I'm sitting with you and Henry in the bleachers?"
Ooh, yeah, that's risky.
I'm like, "Babe, you know everyone there is gonna be."
That's risky. Yeah.
Just hammered, right?
Oh my God, yeah.
Same, like, that would not be a good experience for a child, two and a half year old whose first experience. He really wants to go to an Orioles game, but we are not sitting in bleacher seats.
Well, at least the Orioles aren't like the Ravens. It's not even close, bro.
As far as like the rowdiness.
Dude, it's like the nerfed down version.
But you know what I mean? The bleachers are only the true, like the.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to get different seats, but we'll go to a game.
Just bring Bobby with you. You'll be fine.
Bobby's like, "All right, guys. Break it up.
Break it up." That's enough. Yeah. But yeah, right, let's bring up that list. Do you have my list isn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Mine's like there's a paragraph after every name. Like they have to explain why he's there.
Of course they do. They have to explain their incompetence.
Yes. Why do I need all that?
Yeah, no, I agree. Okay, no problem.
Let me see which one you used.
Let me share. Okay, tell me when you can
This is the same one you're using. Yeah, I'm using the same one you are.
Well, it's definitely not a paragraph.
Well, it's a sentence. Okay, it's a sentence. Like, okay. Can I just have the names? Why do I got to have the sentence? Like, we need to be told why Pat Mahomes is number – like, come on.
Okay, so what we'll do is let's start with the lowest-ranked Raven. What do you think?
Well, you're going to have to go to the very end of the list.
Yep, Tyler Linderbaum. Still – anyway,
I'm glad he got love. I'm glad he made his way in. Being a center is not a sexy position, and I'm just happy that he's on the list because he certainly deserves to be.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. Do I think he deserves to be higher? Yes, but you're right. He got some
He didn't have to get on that list. They could have left him off.
Yeah, no, you're right. You know? So that's fair. All right. See, I was about to throw a big fit, but you're right. You bring up a good point. All right, let's go. Derrick Henry, of course, is 91.
My only question about Derrick Henry being 91 is, let me see, how many running backs, because I always like to see, like, where is he ranked? Where do they consider him in his position group? And give me one second here. I'm just quickly cycling down to see, because if he's 91, I better not see a ton of running backs in this top 100.
So let's see. You got one, two, let's see.
Were you starting from the bottom?
Top.
We should have been in the middle. I am as well starting from the top. And look, there's a lot of deserving names on here, of course. Damn, do I only see one?
I was going to say, is it only him and...
Right now, I just see McCaffrey. Him and
yeah, I think they're the only two on the list.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'm not mad at this list because if
you're far apart, but they're the only two on the list.
Yeah, they are literally 80 something spots apart. Okay. They're literally the only two running backs. Wow. Okay. Well, then I'm not mad at all about that.
Fair. Yeah.
How can I be, right? Like, you're telling me he's the second best running back in this upcoming season. I think that's a good place to put him because they're talking about 2024. And Derrick Henry, to me, is going to have an absolute monster season. He might not have 2,000 yards like we've seen him in the past, but he's going to have 15 touchdowns. Like, I'm calling it right now, he's going to have 15 tutties.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree with you. I think he's appropriately ranked based on his peers. Mark Andrews is on the list, of course, at 61. Mm-hmm. And I think it would have been much higher if he didn't miss 10 games. I think that's fair to say. So for me, I have no qualms here. I don't know if you do.
But, yeah, I mean, it's more about like where's he rank amongst his.
Kittle's 37. I know Kelsey's what, 5.
Yeah, you can't really argue about that. About Kelsey.
I mean, I can argue about it if you want me to. Wait, yeah, I guess Kelsey's not 5. Where's Kelsey at? I apologize. He's not that high. Let's see.
Actually, he's 18. He's 18.
Okay.
So he's 18. And where did you say?
37 is what's the 49ers? What's his name? Gosh dang it.
George Kittle. Yeah, George
Kittle. Kittle, yeah.
Okay. All right. So George Kittle. And then I think
only 3 on there.
Okay. All right. Then I'm not mad about it.
Let me double check that. I think that they're the only...
Sam LaPorta is 58.
Oh, did he make it?
Which Sam LaPorta balled out. I guarantee Mark Andrews is healthy. He's probably where Sam LaPorta is, and Sam's where he is.
At a minimum, right? At a minimum.
Yeah, but you're telling me he's the 4th best tight end in the league after coming off a broken leg. I'm okay with it. Or broken ankle, I'm sorry.
Hockenson was 67.
Okay. So I'm okay with that. I mean, I think there should be more tight ends on this list, period, because there's so many good ones out there, and they're so valuable to their teams. They're used in... I mean, it's just a variety of different ways. What other position is asked to do as many different things as a stud tight end is asked to do? Like, they can do – they do so many things. So, but if you're telling me he's the 3rd best one on the list, or I think 4th, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. No, let's move right to the big boy, Madubuike, of course, coming in at 46. Now, of course, there are some other guys in his other cohorts of his. The top of that, of course, is – Chris Jones, who is, what is he? Chris Jones.
He's top 10.
Is he? Did I miss him?
I think he's top 10.
Chris Jones.
Quinnen Williams is 29.
Chris Jones is 14.
Okay. Yeah, and Quinnen Williams is up there. So is Dexter Lawrence at number 19. So he's the 4th rated D tackle by what I'm seeing. And look, I want him to be higher than that. I think that number, I don't know why everyone seems to be just ready to call last season. I don't know if a fluke's the right word, but they're going to be the outlier season in his career. They're saying that that's by far going to be his most productive.
Right.
There's no way he can match that. And my whole thing is like, why not? Why can't that guy match it? Why can't he best it when you look at his trajectory and the fact he's gotten better every single year? He still hasn't entered his physical prime as a man yet. Like, I don't see why he can't get 15 sacks. Why not?
No, I agree with you. I mean, I guess their argument is just that he took such a big leap, assuming what it is, that they're like, well, how can you go from this to that? But I think that anybody that's watched the Ravens closely has seen him do all the things that he did last year, just not consistently.
Yeah.
I think that really the biggest difference, obviously he improved, but he was also just incredibly more consistent this past year. So I don't think it's too much of an expectation to do something similar to what he did last year, just maintaining consistency because the skills are there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think he's better than Quentin Williams.
Yeah, I'd be fine. I mean, Quentin Williams is a monster, but
he had a down year. He went down 5.5 sacks.
He did have a down year. Yeah.
Objectively speaking, I don't think very many people are taking him over Madubuike coming off of last year.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but at least they didn't put nobody up there that really pissed me off. Like, they didn't piss me off with anybody that's above them. But all right, let's move on to the next Raven here, Jimbo.
Yeah, I think Roquan Smith is 40.
Number 40. Yep. And I guess the only big question here is where is
what's his face?
Where's the Fred Niners? Warner? Yeah, where's Fred Warner? Because he's the only one that I'm going to accept above him. And I still, okay, 22? He's 22.
So you're telling me he remains the game's best inside linebacker, true off-the-ball star. He can cover and run. He can run and cover and play the run. The only issues are when he isn't as protected and big linemen get out on him in the run game. Well, anyway. I'm taking Roquan because I think that Roquan does – he's more – and people use this word all the time with Roquan. I think he's more of a force multiplier.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has more of a residual impact on his team.
I'd have to know more about the Niners to know if Fred Warner is the leader that Roquan is, but I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone who'd say he's better. Right? Like, there's no one better. You might say this guy's as good of a leader. But
plus, Fred Warner gets a knock for having two Spanish-speaking parents and not being able to speak Spanish.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Panamanian and Mexican, both his parents, dad's from Panama, mom's from Mexico. He grew up six miles from the border, and he needs a translator and a podcast? Bro, stop! What are we doing? Anyway, that's just my own point. But yeah, I don't think it's people just give it to Fred.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just we're just going to not argue about the fact that he's, it's one of those things, people walk up to you and they say something that they assume you believe with because what they know about you.
Or what you look like, all that. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, dude.
Like, bruh, you're talking to the wrong one here. Right. You're looking for some sort of camaraderie.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Not here. So like for me, when somebody comes up like, well, I mean, Fred Warner's the best in the league, but Fred Warner's best in the league. I think they're 1A, 1B. Of course, I'm biased, but my preference is Roquan because I think affects his defense more in a positive way. He's more of a force multiplier.
I mean, look,
and when you're that good,
Pat Queen.
What'd you say?
I mean, look what he did for Pat Queen.
Yeah, like, come on, dude. He turned him into Pat Queen. He turned him from Pat Queen to Pat King for a second. Now he's going to go back to Pat Queen. Yeah.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, right. For sure. I mean, I think that when you're already that good, the other things have to come into play.
Yeah, because at this point we are splitting hairs, and
right,
you got to bring up what he does off the field, and in addition to his play. But let's go on to the next one here. We don't have to go very far either for this next guy, number 36, Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess I don't see any other safeties up here.
Yeah, Anton Winfield.
Oh, okay. I missed him. Okay.
Yeah, which I don't think any safety in the league is more valuable than Kyle Hamilton. That's just me. He's just so rare. He's what did Kelsey call? I mean, not Kelsey. What did what's his name call him? Clowney called him
The unicorn?
No, an avatar.
Avatar, that's what it was. Yeah.
Dude, he's an avatar. Yeah. Like
they talk about Antoine Winfield's ability to cover, blitz, and play the run. Okay. First of all, there's no way he's a better blitzer.
Right.
Than Kyle Hamilton. Zero There's no chance. Way he's a better open field tackler than Kyle Hamilton.
Right.
And damn, can Kyle Hamilton cover. I mean, what? Right. So, maybe he's a better in the deep third, because we have a guy named Marcus Williams who typically roams those areas, and we don't ask Kyle Hamilton to do it. But you can't tell me. First of all, I don't think you can name a better open field tackler in the entire league.
Yeah, I think he, right. I mean, yeah.
What are we talking about? That guy is special when it comes to tackling. Blitzing? Come on, bruh.
Right.
Like, what are we talking about? So yeah.
It's ridiculous.
But, I mean, look, it wasn't – it's only one guy. Sure. He's at 36. He's in his second year – after his second year. Man.
Was last year his second year? Because for some reason I kept thinking it was third.
Nah, last year was number two, bro. Number two. It's nutty. It's absolutely nutty. But also, moving up from him, and this is where – this is where the bee entered Jimmy's bonnet, okay? This is where Jimmy got fired up because this is where I started. I said, Jimmy, Lamar Jackson is number 16 in the league.
Like, dude, how can – I just don't understand. And look at this justification. He won his second MVP last season, but the next step is getting his team to the Super Bowl. He was one game short of the Super Bowl. You're acting like he didn't make the playoffs, you imbecile. Like, he has improved greatly as a passer, which you're continuing, you know, this season and year two under OC Todd Monken. Like, dude, so your only knock is that he lost to a supremely experienced team, a supremely experienced coach, and the number one guy on this list in Patrick Mahomes. Your only excuse is that he lost to Patrick Mahomes in the AFC Championship game, and you're going to put Joe Burrow, who was injured all last season in front of Lamar Jackson? What in the ever-living hell are we talking about here?
Yep.
This is
Josh Allen, too. Josh Allen, who, by the way, which Super Bowl has he brought the Bills to?
Yeah, what are we talking about?
It's
how many MVPs do these guys have? How many MVPs did this guy have last year? None of them. Only Lamar came home with the hardware.
Oh, and go up to where they talk about Josh Allen. Look how they excuse away the fact that he throws away games. Just read the little blurb for me, Jimbo.
All right. See, you really want me to
burst
the blood vessel. He led the NFL in total yards and touchdowns, 44, when combining his passing and rushing touchdowns. Yet the perception was he didn't play well. Yes, he turns the ball over too much. But he was a legitimate MVP candidate last year and will be
Sure, he threw the game away sometimes.
So Lamar's beef is that he lost in the AFC Championship game, and your beef, and that's a knock to him not, to make him, what, the fourth best quarterback on this list?
I believe it was, yeah.
And what you're saying is that Josh Allen gets to turn the ball over too much and be the second?
He's the second quarterback. He turns it over too much, Jimbo, but he was an MVP candidate.
What are we talking? And it's
Lamar won the MVP.
Dude, it's so funny to me, Glenn, that every time Josh Allen takes off with the ball, they always want to talk about how he's their whole team's rushing attack, which is true. Which is absolutely true. But Lamar Jackson does so much more in as far as rushing with his eyes closed. He's half asleep. Like, if you're talking about purely that part of the game, don't be stupid and fool yourself. Nobody. The only person that comes close to Lamar Jackson is Mike Vick. And Lamar Jackson's already done more now than Mike Vick ever did, even from a rushing standpoint, just purely rushing the ball. This is just insanity to me, because any way you want to skin this cat, Josh Allen and Joe Burrow lose. The only way they're in front of Lamar Jackson is because he plays the game different, and it's a preference thing. It's totally a preference thing. We don't even know what Joe Burrow's arm is going to be, Glenn.
No. That's a very unique injury to his wrist. Very.
Dude,
and not only that, Jimbo, not even the egregiousness of ranking him where he is as a quarterback, but also there's five edge players ranked ahead of him. Not one, not three, not four, five edge guys rated ahead of the NFL MVP, the guy who impacts the game more than anyone. Yes, that's right, five. Myles Garrett, T.J. Watt, Micah Parsons, Nick Bosa, and Max Crosby, all rated ahead of Lamar.
How was one and two not the easiest thing ever to do? Like, guys, don't overthink this. Sure, put Patrick Mahomes one. You have to put Lamar number two.
Yeah.
Sorry, I feel like I'm screaming in your ear, Glenn.
No, you're good. You're good. I just want to put this up here because Don C is right about this. Guys, it's that time of year where every football analyst is making a list. Mina Combs and 410 Sports Talk, of course, are always on point. Book Mina Apps, you know what? We would love to have Mina on.
Heck yeah, man.
I don't know if she's answering our DMs, but we're certainly gonna try and we'll certainly message her. Don C goes on to say the Ravens, by not signing a veteran wide receiver, better get likely involved with two tight end sets. He's a unicorn. They need to use him, period. I think they absolutely will. I think there's really no doubt about that, he's going to be a focal point in our offense. I guess the only question is, does he get fourth target share? Like, where's his target share at when you rank him? Is he's not first. I think that's either Mark or Zay, and whoever's not first is second on that list. But is third Isaiah Likely? Is third Rashad Bateman? Is third, like, who's the third? Nelson? Where do those guys fit in? There's a lot of pass catchers, no doubt.
Yeah, no, this – so, yeah, as far as Don's point – see, I was about to go back in on the freaking list here. Sorry, Don. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think the plan is get Likely the ball as much as possible. Just cause the defense headaches. We know that Monken can do this. He did it, you know, at Georgia. And with his two tight ends, yeah. So I have no doubt that it'll happen. Don, you'll definitely see it out there, and we're looking forward to it. But this is just outrageous. How does Lamar fall out of the top 10? Like, where do you have a problem? Like, okay, Glenn, I mean, are you maybe not as bullish as me? Does Lamar – I just don't know what else Lamar could do to not be number two.
Well, look, Nick Bosa is the number 10 guy. He had 10 sacks last year. Like –
yeah, so what are to we me, talking it's like about? This. And that's the thing. I guess you have an unfair advantage at quarterback, but at the end of the day, this list is like, okay, I'm starting a franchise today. These are the top 100 best players in the league.
Yeah.
How? I just don't see
He had one game all last year where he had more than one sack. Posted it. One game, Jimbo. You're telling me that he's more impactful than the MVP. Fuck, I mean, what are we talking about?
I know it's team game, but like, what sort of impact did Bosa have, and what sort of impact did Lamar have when we played them?
Right. Like, what are we talking about? It was a complete and total shellacking, a beatdown, an ass whipping.
And what is with all the? I know that they're a well built team, dude. Mm-hmm. Who from the 49ers is greasing whose wheels?
What do you mean?
Like, dude, how many guys do they have in the top 25?
Oh, they got
Trent
ton,
Williams dude. Is three. Bosa's 10. McCaffrey's 8. I mean, I don't know if they got any other guys in the top. I'm not taking any of those guys over Lamar Jackson.
No. They got Fred Warner at 22.
So they got four guys in the top 25.
Yeah.
What do you say about those four guys? They still couldn't get it done.
Kittle, 37. Five in the top 40, Jimbo.
Booty,
45 is Brandon Ayuk. I mean, they got a lot of play. Now, they're a good team. So, I mean, Travarius Ward is 60. Yeah.
But, my gosh. I really struggle with the Lamar at 16 thing. Lamar Jackson? I don't
– exactly. If he was top five, we probably wouldn't have even – we would have brushed over this list. It would have been quick because really we didn't have that big an issue with any of the other ones. It's just this one that just continues to just make you scratch your head, man. It's like, what
dude, the – but in your mind, if you're thinking about it as objectively as possible, is there any world that you see Lamar Jackson out of the top 10?
No.
What about top five?
Top five. Let me go back up to the top here. Okay, so top five. I mean, look, Myles Garrett was incredibly dominant. There's no doubt about it. I got to give that guy credit. I'd be okay with that guy being up there. Tyreek Hill, same thing. He almost broke the record. I'd be okay with it. I'm not okay with
TJ Watt?
I'm not okay with Trent Williams. Well, at least TJ Watt, he had 19 sacks. He had a monster year. Trent Williams was banged up last year. How many games did he miss last year?
I don't know.
Didn't he miss like a bunch of games, if I remember correctly? Let me see. Trent Williams is the best tackle in football. I think we can agree with that. But to me, he missed a lot of games last year. He's 36 years. Oh my God. He's younger than me. Why do I talk on him like he's an old man, Jimbo? He's younger than me. Like, holy.
No, Trent Williams is incredible. But yeah,
he's a great player.
I like Mailata a lot too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mailata. Yeah, super athletic. Okay, here we go. Last year. Okay, so he missed two games. He missed two games. I thought it was more than that.
Still, dude, who in their right mind is putting him over Lamar Jackson? Stop it.
Just quit it already.
You know what? I'm thinking about buying a Ferrari, so I might as well get the most expensive insurance.
Yeah, like if you're telling me you're going to give me the best players at every, like you're telling me Pat Mahomes is the best quarterback. Okay. Miles Garrett's the best pass rusher. Okay. Trent Williams is the best tackle. Wide receiver, it's Tyreek Hill. But why the hell? I mean, you can't put two edges in here. You can't put two edges in the top five. Yeah. I don't think so. And you definitely can't.
Dude, the Steelers have a bone to pick.
Why?
With Garrett being above Watt.
I don't think so. I mean, I did in years past. I'd said that. But last year, Myles Garrett, man. He was getting triple teamed every play and still was doing
crazy
right.
stuff. I was curious. Well, and what about this? I mean, speaking of missing tons of games, didn't Jefferson miss like all of last year? Like after four games? It didn't take long for him to be injured.
No, you're right. And then once Kirk Cousins went down, he wasn't necessarily.
So, you know what I mean? How is he in the top 10?
Good point. Let me see.
He had 68 receptions, according to this list.
Yeah, he had 68 receptions for just over 1,000 yards. Yeah, that's a good point, Jimbo. I mean, I think he's a hell of a player, but we do have to recognize the fact that he played in 10 games last year. He started 9 games, Jimbo.
What is the most egregious guy that's in front of Lamar Jackson for you?
Let me pull up the list again. Oh, did I just exit out?
Well, here, I got it on the screen.
Okay. All right, cool.
So you got all Mahomes, right, Garrett, Williams, Hill, Watt, Allen, Jefferson, McCaffrey, Parsons, Bosa, Crosby, Sauce Gardner.
Bosa absolutely infuriates me.
Yeah.
How are you going to put Bosa who had 10 sacks in there, Jimbo? 10.
Yeah.
He had 10 sacks, Jimbo. How many did Clowney have? He wasn't even as
9
good
and
as
a half, right?
On Clowney.
Oh, Clowney, I think, had 10.
I know he had over 10. I think he was like 10 and a half or 11.
Yeah. You're right. That's a great point. Yeah, that's
like, what are we talking about, bro? Like,
yeah, I think to me, I think
Joe Burrow.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Because they're his peers, I think that the most egregious to me is Joe Burrow.
What happened in their head-to-head, Jimbo? And he played in 10 games.
What'd you say?
What happened in their head-to-head last year?
Right. Yeah, well, and historically what's happened when they play against each other.
He beats them every time.
Yeah, so that one's ridiculous. And the Allen thing is insane to me. There's no way wherever you want to put Lamar Jackson on the list, ordinally, as far as quarterbacks go, he can't be anything less than 2.
Right.
Exactly. Just can't be. Because you can't keep making up excuses under every offense. Now 2 offensive coordinators, Lamar Jackson has 2 MVPs.
Yeah.
What do you, you know what I mean? And every other quarterback gets a pass like, well, he's had 4 OCs in 4 years. Okay, well, that means Lamar would have 2 MVPs according to that because both years, it was the first year with that OC. Guess what? MVP, Greg Roman's first year. MVP, Monken's first year. So let's get another OC and Lamar the 3rd MVP, right? Like, I'm being sarcastic here, but
you're just the blurb alone, Jimbo. The blurb for Lamar says, yeah, he won MVP, but he didn't get to the Super Bowl. And then you go look at Allen's, it's like, yeah, he turns the ball over a ton, but he's an MVP candidate. What?
Yeah.
The other guy won the MVP, he dismissed it away for his not lack of Super Bowl participation. But yet the guy who was an MVP candidate, you use that to dismiss away his turnovers. I don't understand it. It's goofy. It's silly. Yeah, and honestly, it will never change. Like those are saying, well, he's got to win the Super Bowl. I don't care if he wins the next 3. There's always going to be an asterisk next to the name of Lamar Jackson, unfairly as hell. But there will always be that. There will always be something. There will always be a goalpost moving. There will always be something.
Isn't it crazy that like just because it manifests itself differently, people think that it's not as good?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's just a weird thing.
A yard is a yard. Like Josh Harris said when we had him on all those times, a yard is a yard.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I don't care if you're running it for a yard or passing it.
Yeah. A yard is a yard. What happens when you have people that are overly purist about the game. But let me tell you, I'll tell you a quick story, Glenn. So it was, you know how cyclists all do that, those handlebars that like lean forward real. So there was actually a guy that was a competitive triathlete. And everyone used to do full-on standard back in the day, this, you know, this regular handlebars that everyone has. So he had this crazy idea to put these U things on his handlebars and get low like that. All the cyclists laughed at
him. Oh, fried him, I bet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and guess what happened? Now they all do it.
That's right.
Right. So look, Lamar Jackson will fall on the right side of history when it comes to the NFL when this thing is said and done.
You know what it reminds me of, Jimbo?
Huh?
Was it Rick Barry? The underhand?
Yeah.
Who still to this day, he shot 90% underhanding free throws. And he goes, these guys worry so much about looking cool. He goes, all those guys shooting 55, 65%, they'd all shoot 90 if they weren't so worried about looking cool. I mean, Shaq might have broken the damn record if had he not been so worried about being cool.
Yeah. You know? No, you're right. It's crazy that that people that are paid for their full-time job to produce content like this would I just think it's egregious. Like, at what point do we say, what are we doing here in Lamar 16? Mm-hmm. Just makes zero sense. There's not a logical way to make him 16. There just isn't. Unless you simply say, I don't like the way he plays football.
Yeah.
And it's not logical. It's your personal opinion.
Yeah, I don't like his style. That's it.
Yeah, which is just stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, anyway, wild to me, dude.
It's crazy. Every time these lists come out, it's just we go, all right, how are they gonna shit on us this time?
Yeah, no kidding, man. And the other guys we have some beefs with, but Lamar certainly the biggest beef. I mean, come on. You know what would have been crazy if what's his face made this list? The quarterback from the Bears.
Which quarterback? Oh, Caleb Williams, like he made Nick Wright's top five quarterback.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Somehow he finds his way on the top 100, like.
Are you at all? I didn't see CJ. He has to be in there.
Yeah,
right?
He's 38.
Okay.
Yeah. Now I'll tell you what, Creed Humphrey, I think, is 48. I got some beef with that because that means that he's that much better than Tyler Linderbaum. And you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Yeah, I disagree.
I mean, when you get no hold penalties called on you, right? Like,
ever.
Yeah. Never, ever, ever. Mm-hmm. And the stats just have to look bad for them, right?
For who?
The referees against the when refereeing the Chiefs.
Well, we'll never see those numbers.
No, not a chance. Not a chance. Dude, what do you think about the NFL getting sued out of the wazoo?
Ooh, if you guys have not seen it, if you have been paying for NFL Red Zone, or I'm sorry, NFL Ticket.
Sunday Ticket, right?
Then you are in for some money, some reimbursements here. They not only have to pay back, I think, billions of dollars to people, but also, I think somewhere around $100 million to all the bars across the United States for
$4.7 billion. Woo! The majority of that going back to the consumers, like you said.
Insane. Like,
yeah, if not all of it, it might be all of it. And then another 100 and some million, like you said, to bars and things like that. But the crazy thing, Glenn, is that I don't know all the legalities of it, but that 4.7 somehow in court could end up being triple.
Oh, my God.
That based on how the case proceeds, basically, is what the clearest way I could say it, and that I understand it. But generally, these end up being more than what it starts at.
Oh, yeah, please, if you have been paying, look into it. You could be do a couple of dollars.
Dude, the NFL could be on the street shaking the whole.
Well, all this is really going to mean, Jimbo, is that anybody who's been paying for it, they're going to have to pay a whole lot more.
Pay more.
They're just going to jack the price through the roof to get their money back. Like, it's not like we win. Like, we don't win.
Right.
They'll make us lose. They will. Yeah. They'll make you pay an absorbing amount of money. But good news is we live here. We get to see our Ravens no matter what. Don't have to buy the ticket.
Yeah.
But I think somebody was asking in the chat here where everybody was ranked here. Just to give you a quick recap, number 100 was Tyler Linderbaum, 91, Derrick Henry, 61, Mark Andrews, 46, Justin Medebike. Number 40, Roquan Smith, 36, Kyle Hamilton, and 16, Lamar Jackson. So nobody rated higher than 16 for the Ravens, only one in the top 35. Surprising.
Yeah, and the only thing I will say, like, I used Burrow's injury against Lamar. If I'm not mistaken, I guess Hawkinson got injured last year too. I was going to say, I wouldn't be mad if they left Mark off the list because he had 10 games out, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't. It's just, it is what it's like, a DQ almost.
Yeah.
You know, So
now, when did Hockenson get hurt, though?
I don't. Let me see if it says here how many games he missed. But you remember, didn't he like tear his ACL or something pretty bad?
Yeah, it was one of those big ones. Yeah, it was one of the big ones. The Achilles or something. It was one of the big ones. Mm-hmm. Stud, man. All those guys.
Studs. Yeah. No kidding. It doesn't say exactly what. He played 15 games.
Oh, so damn. Yeah.
It was late.
You got to leave him on there then.
But my point is that if you had a beef with him being behind Mark, I get it.
Oh, got you. I see what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the one guy on the Ravens that, like, most of the guys, I think they're underrated for the Ravens. Certainly, I think Mark Hamilton and Lamar Jackson should be higher rated.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be mad if someone was like, well, dude, Mark missed 10 games. Because same thing with Burrow. He missed, I think, more than 10.
Yeah. Well, last question I have for you about the list.
Yeah.
What's your take on the fact that Kyle Hamilton is 36 and Roquan is 40?
No, I'm okay with that.
So do you think at this point, are you willing to say Kyle Hamilton's a better football player than Roquan Smith? Woo! That's a big statement, Jimbo. You better think about that shit.
You know what's crazy? I think so.
Oh my God. What?
I think that Hamilton is so incredibly talented and unique and versatile in his game.
Yeah.
He can just hit the
force multiplier. Don't forget about that. You're right.
That's a great point. Gosh dang it, Glenn.
That's
why do you do this?
Toughie, bro.
What about you?
Dude, that's why I asked you. Because they're both crazy. And obviously, you know, I think we've seen the best of Roquan and that he's older. And I think we know what we're getting. We still don't know how good Kyle Hamilton is really going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, it's
I mean, if I was starting a team right now, I'd probably have to take Kyle Hamilton, but that's, I mean, Roquan's what, 26? Like, he's not old.
Dude, he looks like he's an old soul.
Oh, certainly sounds like he's about,
I guess that's a
55.
Better way to put it. Like, if you closed your eyes.
Yeah, he's 55.
You know what I mean? We're gonna go down here and play some football and not get more than yesterday, you know what I mean? Like,
That's right. He's like that guy standing outside the convenience store that used to play football back in high school.
No, he reminds me of the dude from the end of Sandlot.
Which one? The dude, the announcer?
No. The guy that owns the dog, Hercules.
Oh, yeah. Or James Earl Jones.
That vibe. Like
that deep-ass voice. He's got
the character that he plays. You know what I mean? He's like super passionate about it.
Old ball player. He was an old ball player.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, this is.
That's my son's favorite movie now.
Oh, that's a good one.
I have no idea how he's becoming obsessed with baseball. But well, Glenn, I'm about to turn into a baseball fan, dude.
Bro, let me know. You know how happy I'd be to hear that. I know your boy loves some hard.
Yeah, well, he's got a coach. Coach Glenn.
You know what I'm saying? By the way, lug nuts, baby.
Yeah, I love it, dude.
Oh, and by the way.
That's the grand slam ball, right?
That's the grand slam ball, baby.
Let's go. Hey, it's okay not to play with that one in the neighborhood.
No, that one stays with me. I got like 100 balls in a bucket in my garage. He don't need this one.
There you go.
This one's for me. This one.
Make sure if any kid asks him who the great Bambino is, he knows who it is.
You know what? And he doesn't currently know that. So I got to
see the movie, right?
He's seen the movie, but you know, he probably doesn't memorize that part. You know,
no kids know who he is.
Yeah, these young whippersnappers. but yeah, that was That's an interesting list, but that was a fun show, Jimbo. I think that's it for us tonight, if that's correct.
Yep, that's it. Are you trying to put your shoes back on? Is that why you turned sideways?
Yes.
Were you sure, like, putting your slippers back on?
Yes. That's exactly what I was doing.
I knew it, dude. I can tell.
That's awesome. The old slippers back on.
Nice. Yes, well, yeah, dude, we'll be back next week for sure. Looking forward to it.
Yep.
And hopefully you guys have a great weekend. I think we might only do one show next week because of the 4th.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. We're always working on trying to get you guys new and exciting guests. So we're going to keep doing that like crazy. Maybe we'll hit up Mina Kimes to see if she can come on here. But we'll keep
Flutter,
going.
Flutter timeline on Twitter. Is that
Don, get on that. Don, help us out.
Get all Ravens flock just at Mina to tell her to come on the show.
You know, that's all. That's all I'm asking for. That's it.
That's right.
But anyway, that's it for us tonight. We'll talk soon. See you.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently.
To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.